Hello and welcome to Growing Up B2B. I'm Ed D'Elia, president of D'Elia Associates, the place where B2B brands go to grow. For over 60 years, and now across two generations, we've been helping B2B companies achieve next-level growth through brand distinction, quality lead generation, and sales enablement. Growing Up B2B was created for family business leaders who are passionate about growth, legacy, and making a lasting impact. Whether it's a multi-generational legacy or multiple family members working together, there's something truly magical about blending business with family. And we want to celebrate that right here on Growing Up B2B. So be sure to stick around to the end of the show and find out how you can be our next guest. Okay, let's get into it. Hello and welcome to another episode of Growing Up B2B. I'm your host, Ed D'Elia, second generation president of D'Elia Associates, the place where B2B brands go to grow. Today, I'm joined by Mark Wilson of Natural Repellents. Mark spent the first 25 years of his career in the consumer products world, working with large pharmaceutical companies like Werner Lambert and Novartis. After stepping away from Big Pharma, he moved into consulting and project work, including time in the landscape supply industry. Then in 2013, Mark took a very different leap and co-founded Natural Repellents, launching an all-natural tick and mosquito control product called Tick Kills. Since then, the business has grown steadily, fueled by a rising demand for effective organic alternatives to chemical treatments. Today, Natural Repellents is not only scaling, but doing so as a family-involved business, with several of Mark's children now active in the company. Mark brings a rare perspective to our show: corporate discipline, entrepreneurial reinvention, and the realities of building a family-powered brand in a highly competitive consumer category. Mark, welcome to Growing Up B2B.
Thank you, Ed. Glad to be here.
Great. Hey, let's start at the beginning. You spent two decades in big consumer products and pharma. What did that chapter of your life teach you about how products win or lose in the marketplace?
It taught me an awful lot. We obviously worked very closely in the sales organization with the marketing folks, learned everything that I think I needed to know about bringing a product to the marketplace, the disciplines required in order to do that effectively, and really how to make something successful. Many great products fail for a lot of different reasons and vice versa. And it's very challenging, obviously, to bring something to market. But if you have a wealth of experience like I was able to have before stepping into this entrepreneurial adventure, it makes things a lot easier.
So speaking of, after such a long, and I'll have to surmise being there that long, a successful corporate run, what was it that inspired you to step away and explore something entrepreneurial?
That's a great question. The simple truth of the matter was, after 25 years of doing the whole corporate America thing, it can grind you down unmercifully. Okay. And I just felt like it was time to do something different. I have to be honest, I didn't have an overwhelming desire to start my own business like a lot of people do. But I just knew it was time to do something different in order to maintain my sanity going forward and making myself able to survive, if you will, the full run of a complete business career.
Understood. But before you founded Natural Repellents, you spent a little time consulting and a little time in the landscape supply industry. Was that, or to what extent did that exposure help you shape the idea for the product you'd end up introducing called Tick Kills?
Well, shaped a lot, obviously. Maybe not the entrepreneurial stuff and the consulting stuff so much, but certainly the time that I spent in the landscape supply industry. To me, at the end of the day, a widget's a widget. If you can sell, you can pretty much sell anything in any category and market. But I really had no exposure prior to the landscape industry, and I find the people to be very down to earth, very good people to work with. So the time that I spent a little over a year working with a company to help them launch their product into the industry, it gave me good insight into where the next chapter of my life was going to end up going.
Okay. So in 2013, then, you kicked off Natural Repellents and with the flagship product, Tick Kills. And it was an all-natural tick and mosquito control product. But 2013, I'd have to think, is a little before, premature to the whole clean and organic movement. I don't know that we were talking clean and organic in 2013. They weren't quite as buzzworthy as they are today. So what gave you the sense or the confidence that the timing was right to introduce such a product and the market was ready?
I think the biggest thing that led us to think that way was, In that time that I did some work, there was a product that was launched. It was launched in 2012, and it was probably what I consider another one of those great ideas, poor execution. So I looked at it and I said, there probably is a need for this type of product in the category, but what was out there just failed miserably. So I found a partner almost accidentally. We sat down and we created the formulation that eventually became known as Tikhills. And we said, hey, let's give it a whirl. We knew for sure it was going to work better than the only other thing that was available in the market. And again, we really felt that there was a great opportunity, but you're bucking the trend there. The landscape industry, by and large, and has been for a long time, a chemical industry. So you're fighting the notion that nothing works as well as a chemical and so forth and so on. But at that time, at least enough rumblings of the world is going green to inspire us to take a shot at it and see if we couldn't make a dent in an otherwise chemical world.
Interesting. So when you did launch, was there any, did you then in fact face some of that inherent perceived resistance that, oh, it's not a chemical, all chemical solution, so it can't be as good, or any resistance in bringing an all natural alternative into the market? Or was there enough of a foothold that you could work with?
No, it was a tremendous challenge. And early on, we actually kind of launched mid-year, which is not the time. In 2012, we actually had a little bit of a launch in 12, but we didn't launch until June. And by that time, people have already planned for the year and they know the materials that they're using. Our objective was just singular. Try and get the product in a few people's hands, get them to use it, try it, whatever, and then try and get feedback to see if we actually have something that could work here and could survive in the category. And so we did. We got some early on trial. Half year one was really no big deal. Full year two, which would have been 2013, again, not a big deal. But we started to create a little bit of a momentum and started to feel like, okay, we think we can get some traction here. Still going to be an uphill battle, but it seems like it was a battle worth fighting.
When it comes to, and predominantly your buyers are the professional, the landscaper community, versus you do sell a consumer-facing product, but it's predominantly the professional buyer.
Sure.
What, and you may run into this still to this day, I don't know. Do you still, or I'll ask you, do you still run into some misconceptions about all natural products versus chemical treatments in the category even today?
Oh, there's no question about it. The misconceptions are cost too much. It can't possibly work as well as a chemical. On and on in that vein. And so that was a challenge. And so we had to prove. And it's funny, our biggest marketing campaign over the years that we've been doing this was to give someone a sample and say, all right, you know what? You've used everything under the sun. You've tried this many different ways. I'll tell you what, here's a sample. You go home and you use it in your yard. You see how easy it is to mix and to use. You see how easy it is to applicate and spread on your property. And then you'll see how well it works. And if all those things come true, which we firmly believed it would, then you'll become sold on the product and then you'll be a believer. And it's a heck of a lot easier to get these folks on board if they truly believe that the product works.
Absolutely. Of course. And clearly the product does work because since launch, you've seen consistent year over year growth.
Yes.
Aside from having a product that's worthy of all its claims and efficacy and works really well, what would you say has been the biggest driver to the upward momentum for the product? What do you think it is?
Yeah, again, just the fact that it resonates with people. I have four children, as you well know. Unfortunately, we did have a dog for 12 and a half years. We had to put her down over a year ago, still a void in our life. When you have children and you have pets, you want to take care of them. You want to protect mm-hmm. them. And you want to make sure that in the process of protecting them, you use safe products. And so the number one selling point of our product will always be the safety profile. It's safe for kids, pets, the environment, safe for you and I, Ed, if we're doing the application. It won't even harm the beneficials, most importantly of that group being the honeybees, if used according to label directions. There's so many people out there in the same situation and place that I am. They have children, they have pets, or they have both. And so it's a real issue dealing with ticks. Mosquitoes to a lesser extent because they're a little bit more nuisance than the tick are, but the tick are serious insects that can deliver, pack a powerful punch in delivering viruses to people. And so it's important to treat your yard. It's important to remove all of the potential insect threats within your yard. And what better way to do it, in our opinion, than to do it safe and effectively?
And I, as you're talking, I'm reflecting on every now and again in the neighborhood, the sign goes up. It says something to the effect of, it's a little yard sign. It says chemical treatment in progress. And I always was like, what does that mean exactly? What does that mean? Should I keep the dog away? Can I walk on it?
That means if you have the hazmat suit in the closet, you might want to slip it on.
It's an interesting statement. So clearly it's a warning statement, but it doesn't, it leaves a lot to the imagination, doesn't it?
Oh, it sure does. And you know what? You're absolutely right for wondering what's going on next door. And you see some of the evolution over time. The chem lawn changed to True Green and different names. They got away from that sign, that blinking neon sign that said, run for cover. We're spraying a nasty chemical here and it might drift into your yard. Fair warning.
That's funny. So getting back to your journey. So the shift from corporate exec to founder and CEO of your own entity. Were there any habits or assumptions that maybe made sense in big corporate that suddenly didn't make sense anymore as it was your own ship to run, so to speak? Anything you had to shift your priorities, shift your focus, shift your approach, or unlearn, perhaps?
It's actually the reverse of how you posed the question. And that being, obviously, in a large company, so many layers, so much to work through, so many meetings over and over, covering the same material, not getting things done, making what seemed like the same decision over and over again, but still not moving that rock up the hill. Whereas when you have your own company, that's the greatest thing about it, is you can be fast and flexible and nimble, and you can make decisions on the fly, and you can get things done very quickly. So that was really an eye-opening experience for me, to be able to have that freedom to be able to do what we needed to do it quickly and move forward. And you're never going to make all the right decisions, but that's okay. Make the decision, move on. If it's not the right one, you'll figure out how to fix it. But there's nothing worse than constant delay and not being able to make meaningful progress when, you know, you've got something that you think people can benefit from.
Yeah. I've always been fascinated in big companies where you're having a meeting and there's supposed to be six people, but five people are there and no, we can't meet because the one person, and I'm always left thinking, can't five of you make the call?
Exactly. Or just we would go to regular meetings and sit down and say, this is the same agenda we had 2 weeks ago. Why are we talking about the same stuff? I thought we covered this. I thought we made a decision. I thought we moved on, but clearly I was wrong.
So in a sense, natural repellents was, it sounds like you found it rather liberating in terms
Yes, extremely.
That's great. At what point then did some of your kids start to get involved in the business? And talk about that for a moment, Mark. When did they start to get involved and what prompted that, if you would?
Sure. I have four children. As I said, they range in age. The youngest is 26. The oldest is 40. Have had conversations over the years, just putting out the opportunity and saying, look, if anyone is interested, more than happy to do so. I mean, otherwise, at some point in time down the road, I'm going to have to make a decision about the company and what to do going forward. But oddly enough, it was my youngest, who was a fairly recent graduate from Seton Hall University. He was the one that was most interested. He went out and he worked in corporate America for a placement company in the medical field for about a year and a half. So he did get some good experience in corporate America. And then they went through a massive change. They were bought out. The company just changed identity overnight. He was completely unhappy. He loves the sales and marketing field. He came and talked to me and said, I'm really interested. If you're ready, I'm ready, and let's do this. He was the first one in. He filled a very important need because I wear too many hats right now for the company, and I need to shed some of them in order for us to maybe grow at a faster clip. So yeah, he came on board. It will be 2 years, I believe, this May. And he hit the ground running, and so far it's been really good. And then the three other children I have, the oldest, Matthew, he's finance. So he's always been a finance guy. He's got his own company. And so, boy, that's a good fit to have finance, someone working. So I brought him on board about a year ago, and he oversees the more permanent finance rep that I have. But that's not a discipline that I would even remotely consider an area of functional expertise for myself. So it's important to have someone that can oversee the work that's being done in the company. And then my daughter, who's the third one, she's really good with social media. So all of a sudden, when you look at what they brought to the table, I've got sales and marketing, I've got social media, also marketing as well, and then I've got finance. And I thought, wow, this is a perfect fit. And never once, again, not to say that this was my dream that I was chasing, it just worked out really well, and I'm very happy that we made the decision that we did, but my dream doesn't have to be their dream. I always try to put it out there and let them know if they were interested, we would find a spot and they could come on board. And so three of the four, and I doubt I'll get the fourth. He's a doctor down in Florida and he's got his hands full doctoring. Okay. So probably won't get him. Three out of four is pretty good.
That's very good. That's very good. And would you say that your youngest coming on board, did that have any influence on your other two, such as he left the door open, but he was the first to walk through it?
He was the first to walk through it, yeah. And he, in some ways, I think it did influence the other two, because I think they saw, once they had a real life example of someone doing it and mm-hmm. seeing that it could work, and it didn't hurt that the other two were going through some minor changes within their life, within their work life. So the timing just seemed right at the moment. But yes, the youngest Kyle coming through the door, I think opened up their eyes and realized that, helped them realize that, hey, this really could work. There's a lot of challenges. Let's not think it's a slam dunk. There are certainly challenges when you're working with family, especially since I've held the position of authority within the family for a long number of years. So I've got to change the way I think. They've got to change the way they think. And I think the key is we have to treat each other with the kind of respect required that you would treat anybody else in the business world in some other capacity.
Interesting. And what's very interesting in your particular circumstances, it sounds like it wasn't so much that you had established roles for them. They seemed to gravitate to, it sounds like you were almost playing to their strengths. You have a strength here, let's utilize that. And in some cases, also some really good self-awareness on your part to say, when it comes right. to finance, I can do it, but I don't love it. You love it.
Yeah, exactly. And I helped define it. I had some parameters and ideas in mind, but I threw it out to them. I said, look, if you want to come work for the company, I think that's fantastic. You tell me, what is it that you can bring to the table? How can you contribute? Because look, we're not looking to take what we make now and just divide it amongst more people. If you want to come on board, you want to make a difference, then what can you do to help us grow this company and make it bigger? And that's not necessarily for financial gain. It really is more for, we feel really good about the fact that if we can save 1, 10, 100, 1,000 people from getting dreaded viruses like Lyme's disease and some of the other nasty stuff that ticks are carrying around now, we feel really good about that. There really is something well beyond just a company, a product, selling it, making money, so forth and so on. We feel really good about that. And I can tell you, I personally, my son, most of them now too, we'll do 10 to 12 easily trade shows a year. And the horror stories that we hear at these trade shows, it's just mind-boggling. It's absolutely incredible how devastating Lyme's disease in its chronic form and some of these other things are that people still aren't aware of. Certainly more and more of the population is aware now, but there's still a ton of people out there that have no idea what they're dealing with and how careful they need to be to ensure they don't get tick bites.
Yeah, there's a country boy growing up. I don't know how I navigated not having Lyme's. So many people around me. And to your point, in many cases, it's not the type of thing where, oh, it's like the flu or a cold, it goes away in a few days. No, it hangs around for weeks, sometimes months.
Some devastating.
Yeah.
Devastating.
Yeah. So if you've got a preventative, that's a good thing as far as.
Sure. Sure.
And having had some previous conversations with both you and some of your family members, you touched on an expression earlier. You said respect. And I can honestly attest to when talking amongst yourselves, it's self-evident as an outsider looking in that there is mutual respect across the board. It's very much like you forget everyone's family and it's really a business meeting because everybody's there, everybody's got a seat at the table. Everybody knows their role and everybody is being, I think the best word is respectful of each other's thoughts and voice. And I think you as the leader seem to be, I don't want to say deferential, but open-minded to what they have to say. And it's a very healthy, as an outsider looking in, a very healthy dynamic. That being said, so it's been a couple of years now that the family did walk through that door, starting with Kyle and then others to follow. What's been the biggest surprise, Mark? What surprised you about this dynamic of now the family is working within the business and not just sitting at the dinner table, let's say?
Sure. Biggest surprise. Good question. I actually am pleasantly surprised that what happens in families sometimes. We see it around the holidays. We see it from time to time during the course of the year. And there can certainly be ugliness at times when the skeletons come out of the closet and the backbiting starts. And I think that's been the biggest pleasant surprise for me, is that every one of us, including myself, have been able to check the ego at the door, have no hidden agendas, and just when we get together and we have our meetings with it, it's exactly like you just said. It's a meeting just like I would have in corporate America. I sit down with either total strangers or people that I've known for years and years. And it's always the same thing. Treat people with respect. Treat people the way you would want to be treated. And yes, we're family, but that doesn't come to fruition in the meeting. It doesn't ever come out during the meeting. We're all members of this company. Yep. We all have a role to play. We have a job to do. And obviously, that job requires us to work together and interact with one another on a regular basis. So, again, treat people with respect, expect it back in kind, and I think you'll get a lot done. I think you'll go very far with that kind of attitude.
For sure. Now, let me ask you this. And I'm sure this has happened, when there might be an issue where you're not aligned, where you see something one way, maybe your son or your daughter has an opposing viewpoint. What's your process for resolving those instances where everyone's not aligned and you need to come to some sort of agreement, decision, resolution, and what have you?
Well, that's pretty simple. I just send them all the time out. I may think that sometimes, but no, I don't do that again. It's time to be an adult. And when you see some tugging, and it's okay, guys, time out. Let's go back. Let's refocus. What's the objective? Take the personal feelings out of it. Take the whatever out of it. Our job is to come to a consensus somehow, some way. And so we're not going to get there if we're fighting each other. So it's just usually that's what it takes. It's just like, it's like I do with my computer from time to time. I simply restart it because something's going on and something's not functioning right. And it's like, all right, let's just restart this. I take the same thing in the business world and say, look, let's just restart. Let's go back at it. What are we trying to accomplish here? And let's figure out a way to get it done. And generally speaking, that works. At least it has up to this point. I'm sure there's more challenges ahead and they'll require some other things to do. But by and large, for the most part, that seems to work well for us.
That's excellent. That's excellent. As you look back, and I'm sure out there at any given time, many very successful, like yourself, corporate executives, but they maybe are getting tired. Maybe they're ready for change, or they need a change, or there might be just something in them that's pulling them, right, to start something, do something, create something, whatever it might be. If you were to look back as you made that decision and you made that step, any advice that you would give another second chapter entrepreneur about something to think about that you like looking back, say, hey, I wish I thought about this more, or I wish I prepared for that more, or maybe just how you assessed that next step before you took it? Anything, any words of wisdom?
Yeah, the first word of wisdom would be, look, if I knew now, back then, what I know now, I would have done this and I would have attempted to do this a long time ago. I really had no idea how rewarding, yes, challenging, but rewarding running your own company can be. There's a lot of positives there. Now, I also know it's not that simple. For a lot of people, you have to be in the right place at the right time. And financially, you have to be willing to deal with some very difficult and lean early on periods until it gets traction and hits. But if you can do that, if you're young enough, I say just go for it. Follow your dream and go for it. I had a conversation with my oldest son years ago, and he was contemplating doing his own business, leaving the financial world, work for a company on Wall Street, blah, blah, blah. And at the end of the day, I said, look, Matt, you're reasonably young. And he just looked at me and he said, you know what, Dad? I can always get a job in this industry. It's never an issue. I can. There's your answer. Your answer is then you would be crazy not to pursue your dream if full well that you can always fall back into a corporate role somewhere, then do it because you'll never know otherwise until you try and experience it. And look, it's not all peaches and cream, obviously, but I think you'll find that it's well worth it. You tend to work harder, but like I said, it's more rewarding because you're doing everything for you and hopefully your family and your kids, and you're trying to make a difference. And now I feel great that I legitimately have something, a legacy of some sort that I could pass on to my children. And that makes me feel good.
That's awesome. And that resonates in so many ways for me, for my own journey. In fact, I think it was a conversation with my uncle way back when he posed to my dad, what do you want out of D'Elia Associates? And he said simply and succinctly, I want to create something that lives beyond me. And
there you go.
He passed in 2012, and I think I can affirmatively say, Dad, mission accomplished.
Yeah, still living on strong. That's great. Yeah, that's a great story.
And to your point about young people, just going for it, that resonated. There's an early guest we had. I used to think of the decision I made to join the family business or go my own route because I did have a job lined up that I graciously had to turn down. And he said, why are you making such a big deal of this? You're young. Try it. So what? If it fails, right, go get that job.
Exactly. Or something like it.
Don't make it so heavy. As a young person, it shouldn't feel like the weight of the world. It should be, you're young. You got time. And to your point, right, your son had time and he knows he can get another job. And compliments to his confidence and his abilities, because that's a pretty powerful statement to say, hey, I can always do it. So good for him.
Right.
Certainly, getting back to the product line and the category, demand for natural and organic products now continuing to rise in all categories.
Sure.
But so is competition, right? So I'm sure there's some competitors out there that maybe weren't showing up or weren't quite in the category the same way. Or as you said, as a True Leaf was called Chemlawn, they're obviously leaning into the trend and so forth. So how do you think about, as the category matures, as more players come into the category, how do you think about continuing to evolve Tick Kills and continuing to differentiate the product and the product line?
Sure. And there have, over the last 10 years, there's been a number of competitors that have come into the segment of the category that we operate in. So there's definitely challenges. More and more of the big companies are giving this segment a longer look now. I expect that some of them will dive in at some point in time in the near future. I think one of the best things for us is, so having come from that corporate background, especially given that even though I worked on the consumer side, it was with two large pharmaceutical companies. When you work for pharmaceutical companies, you learn very early on that quality control is job 1 through 10, and everything else falls in behind that. So you better have quality control. So I got very lucky that I work with the company that does all our manufacturing and blending is right here with us in New Jersey. And they're a company, they're a global supplier of a lot of raw materials, fragrances, oils, things of that nature. And as I said, they're a global company. They've been in business forever. They're my partner and they provide so many things to me that I would never have access to as a small company because they are my partner. So I have a team of chemists available to us. We get quality control reports like we're an extremely large company, a Fortune 500 company, even though we're not. So we can talk about things to our customer base. We coined the phrase manufacturing integrity. We can guarantee people that the batches that we make are as good as the last, the next, and on, because we have the quality control reports to show that and prove that. A lot of people can't say that in this industry. So we have some competitive advantages and we try to take full advantage of those whenever we can. And it's a message that's entwined with the overall message that we talk to people about when we tell them about our company and our product. And it seems to resonate well with them. And then, of course, you have other things that are external things that are happening. I'd be lying if I didn't say that the whole Roundup situation brought a whole lot of attention to just how dangerous and harmful chemicals can be within this landscape industry. And yes, Roundup's a great product. If used properly, I don't know of anything that kills weeds like Roundup does, but when used or if it's not used properly, it can be dangerous. It can be harmful. More and more people know about that. And so now that helps foster the notion of, I want to take care of my yard, my landscape, the area that I live within on a regular basis, but maybe I need to think more about doing it in a very natural and safe way because, look, at the end of the day, nobody wants to glow in the dark. It's a pretty simple equation there.
Do you get the sense, and maybe you're seeing it, I don't know, firsthand, that more and more your primary audience is the professional, the applicators, right? But do you get the sense that more and more of their constituents, whether they be homeowners or even corporate clients, are specifically starting to ask questions about what kind of products are you using and where are they made?
Oh, yeah.
And you get the sense that's starting to show up more?
Oh, no question about it. I'd say over the last 3 to 5 years, people have taken control of their destiny. And they've pushed back and they've said, yes, I want your treatment, but I don't want a chemical. What do you got for me? What do you have that's all natural or organic or whatever? I've got kids. I've got pets. I need to make sure that they're safe. I need to make sure that they can go into the yard after it's sprayed and not wait 3 days. So, yes, I think the homeowners, consumers, they're getting smarter and smarter. They're demanding more and more, and they're not just paying for a service anymore. They're asking questions, and they're asking good questions, and then they're making good decisions based on that. And we've got people over the years, not every customer of ours completely switches over to from a chemical to our product. We have a lot of customers that do it gradually. So if you have, I don't know, you have 500 customers and 25 of them want something all natural, why would you turn them away?
Yeah.
There's so many all natural options out there. Go get an all natural product like ours. Treat their property like you would with a chemical. You're satisfying them, and they'll continue to be customers going further. So, yes, there are customers that have completely changed their business over, but then there's others that have just said, hey, I'm okay with that. Here's our Chinese menu, right?
Yeah.
Here's the chemical treatment. Here's the all natural. You can do a blend if you want, as long as the consumer understands what you're doing. But, yeah, I think obviously the professional is our core customer. They're the one that buys in bulk because they offer it as a spray service to their customer base. But in that process, the homeowner, the consumer, is helping to drive what they use and how they use things because they're just more demanding. They're more demanding on what they want if they're going to pay money for it.
Yeah. And there certainly is, compared to, gosh, even if you go back 10 years, so much more transparency to what you're buying, what you're ingesting, what you're using, and the ability to almost instantly access information to the full, here's the full ingredient set for everything.
Sure.
Whereas maybe it wasn't quite as visible 10 or 15 years ago around the time.
Oh, no question.
Yeah.
Oh, look at it when we were younger, Ed. If I needed some information on things, I'd have to go to the Britannica encyclopedia set that my dad bought me when I was, I don't know, 20 years old and stuff like that. Now, to your point, people have information at their fingertips instantaneously. You don't even have to be home on the desktop. You can do it on your cell phone. So, you know, that the emergence of websites and all, it's just fantastic because people can get that information very quickly and make decisions on the spot because the information that they need is so readily available.
Yeah, very true. As the business grows, and it started where the priority one was, hey, let's see if we've got a viable product and get a foothold, and then let's see if we can get traction. And then lo and behold, you did. And then, hey, family members, the door is open if you want to take a role here and make a contribution. And lo and behold, they did. As you're sitting here now, are you recalibrating what success looks like based on where you are now? And how are you looking at success now compared to maybe when you looked at it starting out with this product? Like, how has that changed for you, if it has at all?
Yes, it's changed a little, but it will change a lot more. When you do things on the fly, and at first you're just excited because people want to come on board and they want to participate, and that's fantastic. And now that everyone is on board and we've had a good year closing out 2025, now we're going to be sitting down in 2026 and now trying to put, I don't know, I hate the phrase, put more meat on the bones, but you know what I'm saying. We're going to have to sit down and do a better job of redefining what everyone's focus is. I don't ever and will never go back to the corporate America with the lengthy performance reviews and all that stuff. I don't think we need that in a small company like this. But what we do need is we do need to make sure that everybody is crystal clear on what they should be focused on and crystal clear on how they should be linking with the other members of the team so that we can aid each other in accomplishing each other's objectives. So matter of fact, we have our first meeting scheduled in January with kind of the full group on board. And we're going to be talking exactly about that and figuring out better ways to work together. We've already started, I would say, in Q4 of 2025, this past year. We did a deeper dive into segregating the workload into, okay, here's a... So we have a number of important projects going on. We're redesigning the website, as you well know. We're onboarding some type of CRM program / system. And so, you know, now I've got helpers. I've got people that can manage those tasks for me. And it's fantastic. And they update the team on a regular basis. And we're already showing some very good progress moving forward. So we expect to have both of those projects in particular. Those are the two biggest ones at the moment. We expect to have them to be done, finalized in Q1 of 2026. But yeah, I mean, it's just really always revisiting how we work together, what are we focused on, and are we focused on the most important things that are ultimately going to drive our business?
And all very healthy dialogues and
yes,
that you're putting on the table. And I think that's key for any leadership team is to, when things keep getting swept under the rug, that's where piles suddenly appear under those rugs. What's right. That big lump? Oh, that's all of our problems.
Exactly.
Pushing it under the rug.
Exactly.
So we got to put it on the table and we got to have some candid and sometimes hard conversations and we got to be honest. But another guest of mine said once, it was a very poignant statement. He said, especially when it comes to family governed businesses where family members are at the table, it says, speak your mind and do no harm.
So,
and I thought that was very well said.
Sure.
A lot of times we speak our mind, but sometimes there's a little harm done.
Yeah, that is true. And then within the family, that's the difficult thing too. There's already a set hierarchy.
Sure.
So my oldest is 14 years older than my youngest. Far be it from me to think that the older one thinks he's got more knowledge, more experience, more wisdom, more this, more that. And but on the other hand, the 26-year-old has a voice and an opinion just like all of us. So absolutely, we have to respect that. And so we have to deal with that. And I guess sometimes it's more challenging than just in your typical business world, but I think it's worth it. And, and by and large, everyone does get along well, which is good.
That is very good.
Yeah, that's very helpful.
Going back to, so a lot of our listeners are in different shapes and sizes of family governed business. And some of them might be at that point where they are the senior member of the family. And they're contemplating, do I extend that invitation as you did? Do I invite son or daughter to the table? Do I even ask them, hey, do you want to be part of this business? Or do I just let them find their own path? If you were to give that persona a piece of advice, what might you say to them to help them? Do I open that door or do I not? And how do I decide?
I guess that's a personal individual decision, Ed. But as you look around and if you think your family members would be good employees within your company, I don't know why you wouldn't open that door. And one of the things that helped me a lot along the way, and it wasn't a lot of fanfare, we didn't spend a lot of time, but I always kept them apprised of how we were doing. If they didn't ask, didn't matter. I just say, hey, you know what? Just so you know, we had a great year or whatever. We had a couple milestones this year of XYZ. And just always put it out there just to say, hey, this company, believe it or not, is doing pretty well. And some of it by accident, some of it by not. And so just keeping you abreast of what's happening. And just maybe one day you'll think enough about it. And then lo and behold, start asking more questions. Start looking for more information about exactly what it is we do. And then thinking about, okay, if your functional expertise is finance or social media or sales and more, you start to ask those specific questions. Okay, how'd you do this? So it just keep that door open. Don't force them in, but give them the welcome sign that if they want to step through, my kids, I welcome them with open arms. I couldn't be happier.
That's awesome. I can tell. I can tell. So this is just out of curiosity. And it sounds like you've always had a very open line of communication with your kids, irrespective of the business, just the way that you seem to communicate with them and they to you. What did they think when you said, oh, I'm leaving corporate and I'm starting Natural Balance? How did they respond to that when you made that declaration?
Yeah, it didn't quite unfold like that. Right. I think they could see where I was. I was just getting burnt out. I'm not trying to over-dramatize it, but 25 years, in any company, any corporate America environment. It, like I said, it's a grind, and I had some tough jobs along the way. And after 25, I just felt like I need to get, for health's sake and just to ensure that I preserve my health moving forward, I need to make a change. And I think they understood that at the time. And then there was a bit of a gap. And they knew, they were supportive, but we didn't have that kind of conversation where they were all of a sudden working. Because again, except for the younger one, they were already out on their own, okay, doing their own thing. And you know how that goes. You're just focused in your own world by and large. So yeah, Dad was in the background doing something, but it may not have been top of mind on a regular basis. But then thankfully lately, over the last 3 to 5 years, I've certainly made enough noise about the fact that, hey, could use some help here. I'm getting older, not younger, and I'm going to need to make a decision pretty soon on, we'll call it succession planning if you want. But yeah, I got to figure out what to do with this company now. Either sell it, or if you guys are willing to run it and take it over, couldn't be happier.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah.
And you can definitely tell by the vibe and the energy that you bring. And when you talk about the business in the context of family, it would definitely appear to be very energizing for you personally.
Sure.
That being said, as you look to 2026 and the year we're getting into here, what's something that's really exciting you, either about the company or about the industry as a whole?
I would say the most exciting thing is we've obviously done very well up to this point, but truly we've only scratched the surface. It's just, and the reason why is because we've just been limited in resources. Just the mere fact of bringing my 3 children in basically doubles the resources we have. We can do a heck of a lot more with double the amount of resources that we did before. So we can expand. Right now, our business by and large has been the Northeast and to some extent the upper Midwest. And there are so many other areas of the country that we need to penetrate. We need to make sure that people know that we're available and so forth and so on. Like I said, we've just scratched the surface. You also think about, people have sprayed open areas for decades. They've used chemicals. You can't do that anymore. You can't spray a chemical around a school, around a park where people can, municipality, you just can't do it. The liability is way too great. These are all potentially significant revenue streams moving forward that, again, we're just starting to scratch the surface and make significant inroads in. So I think these are areas that could tremendously grow our business moving forward. So now we have the resources to hopefully attack some.
Awesome. Definitely exciting times for natural repellents, that's for sure.
It is.
It sounds like the best is yet to come, even though the journey so far has been a very positive one. Last question. If any of our listeners wanted to learn more about you, your story, or learn more about the products, tick kills or natural repellents, what's the best way for them to connect, Mark?
Oh, yeah. Any number of different ways. Easiest first place to go would be our website, tickkills.com. Tick kills, kills is spelled with a Z, not an S. So tickkills.com. Just please be a little patient. As I said, it's under renovation. Expect to have it redone by the end of the first quarter. There should still be a landing page in there where you can reach out, send an email. But if that doesn't work, my email address is mwilson1123@optonline.net, optonline.net. Cell number is 973-277-3904. That pretty much covers the most basic one. So you can reach out to me by phone, by email, through the website. Encourage you. Yeah, I would love to chat with anyone that wants to go down a similar path that we went down. I don't think you'll regret it. Doesn't guarantee that things will be successful, but I don't think you'll regret it. So I would encourage each and every one of your listeners to go ahead and pursue it if that's what they think they want to do.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Mark. Hey, thanks so much for your time and for sharing your journey. Your story certainly highlights what's possible when experience, conviction, and a great family come together around, in this case, a clear market need. It's also a powerful reminder that reinvention doesn't have a set date, and family businesses can emerge at any stage or any point in one's journey. A great story, and we appreciate you sharing it. Again, we've been speaking with Mark Wilson of Natural Repellents, and I'm your host, Ed D'Elia, and this has been another episode of Growing Up B2B. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time. Mark, thank you again for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me, Ed. I really appreciate it. You go and have a great New Year's, and here's a happy, healthy 2026 to you and your family.
Thanks, and to you. Thanks so much, Mark. Take care.
Okay, take care. Talk to you soon.
Hey, thanks so much for tuning in to Growing Up B2B. To explore more episodes and insights, visit podcast.delianet.com. And if you've enjoyed this episode, please give us a rating or review on your podcast platform of choice. Having worked with hundreds of family-led businesses across my career, and being a second-generation leader myself, I'm on a mission to help every family business I meet achieve next-level growth for their organization. So feel free also to connect with me on LinkedIn and let's support each other. You can also find out more about my company at DeliaNet.com. Again, I'm your host, Ed Delia, and thanks so much for joining us today. Take care.